The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Gonzalo Lira says Dan Simon. Yeah, it's good to see Coach Red Pill every day that we start this show, isn't it? It's a good way to retain his memory. Lendl Guntram was talking about the Starship flight test. Elon Musk was publicizing the Starship flight test, but it ended up being canceled. Starship is this big vessel meant to transport Elon's loads further in space than was ever made, and the biggest loads that could ever been done and that have been done in the past. The Starship, ladies and gentlemen, the rocket was coming hot and heavy, but some problems have happened here. And they couldn't take off. Something went wrong. It wasn't clear why. So they say that there's a chance they will retry this in 24 hours. Now, not much happening today, but mostly a big anticipation of tomorrow, as Trump says tomorrow will be big. Tomorrow will be big. He's going to tell it like it is. Now, when Trump says he's going to tell it like it is, maybe it means that there won't be much action. Because telling something is different than acting onto something. But you can see that the Trump style is taking over the world, changing the world. We have the tariffs coming in onto Canada. In Canada, it's the big crisis. Family members were calling me and telling me, oh, the tariffs are coming, JF. And I'm like, yeah, I like this. And they don't like it. But of course, when you talk to family members, they watch normie TV shows. And my family member was telling me, when you speak about Trump, are you for Trump in the Ukraine stuff? That means you're on the side of Russia? A family member of mine told me that. I'm not on the side of Russia, but Normie News Channel will basically lay it like this, that any positioning against the Ukraine war is siding with Russia. And that's how they're in a depression, these Ukraine supporters on Twitter. They are in panic. You see them attack Trump. You see them telling it's not the will of the people. What, the will of the people has never been to be engaged in a forever war in Ukraine? Lendl Guntram says, on the side of not dying. Yeah, I would say that's my side. Why so much death? Why would that be your side?
Everybody has to get into a room, so to speak, and we have to make a deal. And the deal can be made very fast. It should not be that hard a deal to make. It could be made very fast. Now, maybe somebody doesn't want to make a deal. And if somebody doesn't want to make a deal, I think that person won't be around very long.
Now, here Trump is talking about Zelensky and saying, if that person doesn't want to make a deal, he won't be around anymore. Coming from the president of the U.S., this may be a death threat. So that's why Trump corrected himself immediately.
Person will not be listened to very long.
Okay, we won't listen to Zelensky very long.
Because I believe that Russia wants to make a deal. I believe certainly the people of Ukraine want to make a deal. They've suffered more than anybody else. Everybody has to get into a room. So
Trump is absolutely correct here. It's not rational for the people of Ukraine, and I don't think that the people of Ukraine support Zelensky. That is why there's no election. If Zelensky knew that he would get support in an election, it wouldn't be super hard for him to organize one. But there is massive changes coming. U.S. hitting the brakes on flow of arms to Ukraine. So here Trump moving ahead with the idea of, look, Zelensky doesn't want peace, and that's because he's not incentivized for peace. If Zelensky was just the Zelensky with his power in Ukraine, if it wasn't of the American-European pressure, American-European arms, and American-European money flow, there is no way in which Zelensky wouldn't concede defeat. The only reason he's not is that he has this continuous flow which convinces him that he has a shot at losing a little bit of territory progressively and solidifying his power over a depopulated Ukraine, basically. Dan Simon says Zelensky's only chance, Zelensky's only chance, is fleeing to Russia and begging Putin for mercy. Yeah, who knows where will Zelensky flee? That is a good question. I am absolutely certain that at some point, sooner or later, at some point Zelensky will flee. At some point he's gonna go on a beach somewhere in some country, some weird country that somehow will give him protection. Which kind of country would it be? Would it be like a third world country? Would it be Israel? Will Zelensky have a new condominium on the beaches of Gaza? Or would it be something like a Western country, like maybe Sweden, maybe... I don't know. I don't know what would happen with Zelensky. Trump announces that major Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturer TSMC is investing $100 billion in the U.S., 5 cutting-edge fabrication facilities in Arizona, thousands of high-paying jobs, boosting USA's AI role, combat Taiwan's monopoly on the semiconductor market, matter of economic and national security. We have many more companies that want to announce investments. I think this is great. Trump can use this and direct this flow of money, hopefully, to states that can be Republicans. Because if you were to direct this flow of money into California, you don't win votes, you don't secure a Republican future for the U.S., but if you take the technological sector and favor Texas, favor Arizona, and you change these states in a way that there's a manufacturing revolution there, and on top of it, the Californian big tech sector is dependent on importing this material. So instead of importing them from Taiwan, they could import it from Arizona. And so you create a chain of dependency onto Republican states rather than onto random Asian nations. And that can be a bright future for the right wing, for the U.S., so that we are not in this constant political loss. Lendot Guntram says, even according to our meddling sociologist pollsters, Zelensky's support is maybe 10 to 20% in Ukraine these days. Ah, good. I didn't know the exact number, but good to know. Doubting Thomas says, JF, congrats on the H-1B visa holders for the new jobs. Okay, so you think that all of these semiconductor engineers will all be H-1B? Well, you know, at the very least, we're creating economic activity. At the very least, maybe the janitors of this company will not be H-1B visa holders, hopefully. But yeah, that is a sad thing to take into consideration. Look at them losing their chill, the warmongers on Twitter. The war party, let's be clear, is Putin. They're very much into reminding that, oh, Putin is the aggressor here. Okay, try Israel now. Try every single war that America has gotten into in the last few decades. It's never mattered to these people who was the aggressor. Suddenly it matters because they're siding with the supposed victim of the aggression. Breaking, President Trump halts weapon sales to Ukraine. Absolutely beautiful. Now you have Canada. You even had, I was laughing my ass off, Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau saying, everything is on the table. We know that we have ways in which we could support Ukraine. Not credible at all. You know, the entire Canadian army is actually less than just the special subsection of the Russian army that was used for the Russian war. It is absolutely incomparable. Canada is unable to participate to a hot conflict. They are as bad as Ukraine from a military perspective. So everything is on the table is easy to say when you have nothing. Dan Simmons says, how dare Putin put his country right in the middle of all those American military bases? Yes, ultimately we are faced with this aggressive pursuit that has always been very aggressively pursuing these advancements, these bases around these supposed future enemies, these axis of evil. Across the decades, we've had various terms to justify an imperialistic approach to the American empire, which has existed at the massive cost for the American taxpayer, and for the American taxpayer to see all of their money wasted on security, to the point where we don't even know to which extent it's wasted, to which extent it's actually used, how do Americans benefit from pushing Putin here or here in terms of the front line, not clear to me, on a totally separate continent, as Trump likes to point out. Rodi Lacid says, most Canadian military goes into ships and boats that patrol the James Bay and Northern waters. Yeah, and there would be a role there for Canada as some sort of specialist of Arctic Ocean scouting. But we're talking about a war of artillery. We're talking about a war of artillery and air power. It is really not the specialty of Canada. If Canada can do anything, it certainly doesn't have to do with Ukraine. Ked's Dead says Russia-US relations would be a great way to counterbalance China. Exactly. China looks very isolated and looks very alone. If there's a good harmony between Russia and the U.S., there is so much benefit. As I was telling Richard Spencer, and he was laughing to my face, but he keeps laughing when I make these points. But he doesn't seem to have an argument. He just laughs. But yeah, having a positive relationship with Russia, like we're talking about minerals in Ukraine. How many Ukraines fit on the map of Russia? I mean, you have so much more land, so much more resources. Anything that Ukraine can give us, Russia can give us 10 times that. Doubting Thomas says, JF Shapiro gave an exhaustive argument on how our interventionism is the only thing holding up the US dollar as the world reserve currency, rather than arguing for spreading democracy. To me, the role of the U.S. dollar as reserve currency has outlasted its benefit. Because if it costs you trillions of dollars, literally just piles of money on pallets that you need to send to Afghanistan to maintain the U.S. dollar as a world reserve currency, do you realize how useless that is? And let's not forget here, in a world of liquid exchange, what the reserve currency is, no one gives a shit. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because in a world of liquid exchange, money truly becomes the unit of accounting of value. And therefore, if Russia and China do their trade in Bitcoin or whatever currency they want to use, it doesn't change that when they want to buy an American product, they will have to convert to the US. And that's where the accounting equalizes itself. That's where the demand shows itself and expresses itself on the value of the USD. The fact that people use USD as an intermediary in a liquid environment, in theory, has zero impact. Now, the environment is never truly liquid. There's some demand that is created from the fact that people pass through an intermediary. But in a perfect world, really, this argument would have never even been valid. Now, it was valid for a while simply because money is more than its liquid theoretical accounting. But it's becoming more, as it gets digitalized, it's becoming more and more of that perfect accounting entity. You know, you pay less and less in exchange fees. You pay less and less in things that even have to be American, because now you have Bitcoin that's there as kind of also a competitor for a reserve currency. To me, the argument of the reserve currency must be rejected. First, because we're headed toward a different reserve currency anyways. Second, because the American dollar has lost its international trading credibility, because under Democrat administrations, we have found ourselves under sanctions again and again, depriving holders of the American dollar to dispose of them however they wanted. So no, the US dollar is not a currency of liberty and a trustable currency for anyone associated with someone that eventually the Democrats would want to go after. So fuck the reserve currency argument. I fully reject it. And even if there was a small advantage, we are way past this in terms of the trillions of dollars and millions of humans' lives lost to these war that are only meant at forcing people to do something else than what they want to do, to force them to be in the US system somehow, either through USAID, through CIA campaigns, or through just literal physical aggression. Yeah, so fuck Ben Shapiro and fuck his argument. Rodi Lassid says, exactly, a good point. If we can pull Russia away from Chinese influence, it would isolate them. China is the one that takes up space in the South China Sea, builds islands in the middle of nowhere. They are imperialist. Russia just wants a secure border and buffer zone. Exactly. China is the one with dragon shows of 10,000 automated drone that the dragon is blowing fire. Now that's aggression. That's something you should be scared of. Russia, you know, Putin seems like a quite sympathetic person. Honestly, throughout this, I found Putin very classy. And in fact, almost too traditional in his warring. Like, I was watching the plane of Zelensky mid-Atlantic, and I was like, I was watching the plane on the little, you know, the the little plane localizer app, and I was like, these people are lucky that I'm not the president of Russia, because holy shit, would I press that button. I would have a submarine right there, mid-Atlantic. Pew! Send some heat-seeking missile that can target the first plane it meets. And boom, Zelensky blows up. Not only does he get humiliated in the Trump meeting with J.D. Vance, but he also doesn't make it home. But no one ever turns to me for the answers. Doubting Thomas says, his point is that if the dollar is no longer the reserve currency, there will be no longer a reason to hold U.S. debt, and we will enter a debt crisis. Well, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's fix. Because this whole concept, anyways, that we are constantly selling debt and that it's a rational thing. Anyways, there's too much debt on the market. So yes, let's do it. Let's move to Bitcoin accounting. Let's use this opportunity to have a healthier relationship with money. To me, that's all my project, basically. When I'm a big fan of Bitcoin and I make the apology of Bitcoin here on the show, that's where we're headed. USD not being the reserve currency, credit not being the thing that everyone counts on in a system of forever growth. Because credit, you should be extremely wary of credit. In a normal system, you should be scared of credit. The reason people aren't scared is that we are in the boomer age still, and we are with the boomer delusion that everyone can have a mortgage, have a little job at the local hot dog shop, and pay their mortgage. That isn't true anymore anyways. So if we're going to review debt, let's benefit from it also. Let's cut debt at the government level. Let's stop selling debt. Let's stop having these assumptions that debt must pay 3 or 4% because inflation must be 2 or 3% because the stock market must grow 15%. All of these are assumptions of growth that are making our nation sick, that is motivating, among other things, the constant importation of flows of migrants because you want that GDP to keep growing no matter what. You want these stock market values to keep growing no matter what. Things shouldn't be constantly growing like this anyways. It should be the case that McDonald's in the 60s is still, and a McDonald's today are roughly the same value, but we're talking 10x here. And we're talking it's still the same fucking building with the same fucking operation. Rodita says Putin's history lesson on Tucker is a huge contrast to Zelensky blowing up in the White House. They are not the same. One is a leader, one is a comedian. Extremely well seen. I hadn't thought about the contrast, but the contrast is there, absolutely. We have Jack Meat Sink, the NDP socialist candidate of Canada, saying that Trump shouldn't be at the G7.
Do not invite Donald Trump to the G7. It doesn't make any sense to do so. As a host, we should work with other countries to develop a strategy on how we can resist the very dangerous ideas that Donald Trump's putting forward. And that should be the focus of the summit.
On the G7 in English, would uninviting Trump from the summit close the door for an opportunity for diplomacy between world leaders at a time of global tension?
Well, we absolutely need to keep doors open to communicate. We're going to communicate with our allies in the States. There are folks that are really upset at what Donald Trump's doing that we can continue to communicate with. But honestly, genuinely, can we invite someone who has directly threatened our sovereignty, our very existence as a country, who has constantly said that he wants to make us the 51st state? Could we genuinely have that person around the table talking about how we want to build a better world together? Can we genuinely have someone who has such disdain for multilateralism around a table talking about how we build up multilateralism? When we are the host and it is us that is setting up this meeting, I believe very strongly that we should not invite Donald Trump to the G.
Based on stuff like this, I hope that tomorrow, people are throwing around the rumor that tomorrow Trump will say to the Congress that he's leaving NATO. That would be awesome. He could say, I'm leaving G7 too. If these countries are going to kick him out and only accept the U.S. when it's a Democrat agent representing the U.S., well, you know, leave those places. Anyways, those things, the G7, NATO, they have zero power if it wasn't of the U.S. So the U.S. is the one that provides a military value to everything, so that when what happens in these meetings matters, because it could eventually get you in trouble with the U.S. military. But left to their own, the G7, NATO, they can't do anything. NATO without the U.S., can you imagine? NATO without the U.S. means UK troops being sent in Ukraine, maybe Turkey trying to go at it against Russia. They can't do anything. Rodita says he could create a new world country organization. Why is Canada even in the G7? There are plenty of states that have bigger economies than Canada. Oh yeah, well, there's a long history to this, but was it G8 eventually? And yeah, and Canada, of course, has been included because it was a traditional ally of the U.S. But at this point, Canada is drifting towards such socialism that perhaps today you wouldn't have Canada included in the G7. But back in the days, Canada would generally stand by the U.S. and benefit from the same thing as the U.S. So back in the days, it probably made sense. Trump had enough of Zelensky. He calls out Zelensky for not wanting peace and calls out Europe for admitting they need the U.S. to pull off direct war with Russia, aka World War III. The odds of Trump leaving NATO increase every time Zelensky opens his mouth. Yeah, Zelensky, unbelievable. He said, oh yeah, we're very interested in peace, but not any kind of peace. And he ended up saying the end of the war with Russia is very, very far away. So basically, you have one side of this war that wants it to continue. And amazingly, it's the supposedly invaded country. Can you believe this? This is what happens when your president is not invested in the safety and in the existence of your people. Zelensky does not feel that the people he's sending to the front line to die are his. So to him, it's a bunch of cattle. And therefore, the war can continue as long as there is support, as long as he won't be fearing that Russia will not advance more. Which is why I've been actually wishing that Russia makes some advance, because it's the only thing that will push Zelensky at this point away from a warmongering position. This is the worst statement that could have been made by Zelensky, and America will not put up with it much longer. It is what I was saying. This guy doesn't want there to be peace. As long as he has America's backing and Europe in the meeting they had with Zelensky, stated flatly that they cannot do the job without the U.S. Yeah, because know this, Zelensky went to Europe and started having good tweets from them, and thank you for your tweets of support. But eventually he got some soldier offers by the UK, but it's a theoretical offer. We're not at the point where the soldiers are being sent. But UK is talking about the possibility of sending soldiers, but they want US guarantees on these soldiers. Like, what the fuck do you guys do? Do you think the U.S. is some insurance companies for militaries? What the fuck? Why are you asking for guarantees? The U.K. wants guarantees because Zelensky wants these U.K. soldiers to die. And then he wants the U.S. to be committed to, if my U.K. soldiers die, we're going to go at war with Russia. So we're still in the same deal. Zelensky is still deluded into thinking I can get the U.S. to go at war with Russia somehow. So even the U.K. soldiers, they have no value. The U.K. knows it. They wouldn't help win the war. What they would help is drag the U.S. in. They would literally send these soldiers to die. They might send planes that would get taken down by the Russian army. And and they would send that for the purpose of saying, oh, see, that triggers your guarantees. And since you have guaranteed us, now you need to go to war with Russia. What a bunch of troublemakers. Like, this is so basic, such basic. This is so low-level manipulation. None of you guys have power. None of you guys have value on the battlefield. Rodit Asid says, this is exactly the same plan as Israel used to drag the U.S. in the Middle East. Yeah, and Doubting Thomas says that's good enough to leave NATO, which is why I do hope that the rumors are true that tomorrow Trump would say, I'm leaving NATO in front of the Congress. But that's a... I have learned to be expecting disappointment from Trump, but he's been on a roll, so possible. Putin-Trump summit being expedited in wake of Zelensky White House row. CNN reports that a summit between Presidents Trump and Putin is now being fast-tracked in the wake of the explosive row with Zelensky, which saw him booted from the White House before a planned lunch was to take place Friday. Is now anticipating talks aimed at rebuilding the U.S.-Russia relationship even accelerate in the weeks ahead. So I hope that... I don't think it's important what it is, but I hope that Trump comes up with some deal with Russia. Something that embeds the trust of, let's say, an American company could have some location in Russia where they go chop woods or mine coal or whatever. Doesn't matter that it's not financially magical or profitable, magically profitable. If it's just a relationship in which there can be U.S. citizens that are working in Russia or Russians, something good, something positive that can be said, oh, Putin wants deals. Putin is up for dealing with Donald Trump. Putin is kind. Putin is not a hostile entity. And also so that we can get rid of this whole sanctions program, which is ludicrous, which has not worked to isolate Russia. In fact, it has developed a form of immunoresponse of Russia. Now Russia is stronger because of those sanctions, precisely because they're not worth anything anymore. You can say, I'm going to double the sanctions. Russia does not operate within the American sphere, financial sphere anymore. Rodit Asid says, but maybe Trump could cut in half the U.S. contribution to NATO, like the U.S. could just match whatever is the number two biggest contributor. I think it is Germany, so the U.S. could just match Germany's contribution to NATO, nothing more. That could be a good plan. I mean, yeah, you can always make the argument that any reduction of involvement in NATO would be good. That could be the announcement tomorrow. I would take it positively. But if you're gonna go that way, why not just dissolve or do like Trump, which is claim that he's going to dissolve it and then negotiate this middle of the road position or whatever. The pro-Zelensky protest outside of the White House is one of the lowest energy protests I've ever attended. I almost couldn't find it. Seems to be a direct result of USAID funding drying up.
Americans will wake up. Hopefully, they will wake up to the real danger of a
Russian. Hopefully, America will wake up. Hopefully, they will wake up to the real nature.
Americans will wake up. Hopefully, they will wake up to the real danger of a Russian.
This is all... This must be a bunch of people who were somehow getting funded. Like HR woman responsible for Ukraine social media.
Threatening you.
Look at this, the bearded hipster. Russian warships. We have a gender-neutral person. Stand with Ukraine. Russian warship, White House, go fuck yourself.
No problem.
Don't forget 1994. Okay, there's not much activity since the US Ed funds have dried up. Data Republican with a new tool. People relations, dig deep and connect the dot. I've built a powerful tool to help you search names and uncover how people, entities, and organizations connect. Visualize relationships in an interactive graph and see who's tied to whom, all in just a few clicks. Because the one thing we're discovering is, okay, you have a USAID $10 million here. It gets given to a nonprofit. The nonprofit hires a contractual person. Now, the contractual person is the wife of the politician or the wife of the manager who sent that money. And so the connections between people need to start being examined by Elon Musk. And that's what we see here. Data Republican deploying the tools so that we can do that. Ked's dad says, totally random, but JF, do you think the Shettles method is scientifically true for having male offspring? Never heard of this, the Shettles method. The Shettle method is based on the idea that male-producing sperm prefer alkaline conditions, whereas female-producing sperm prefer acidic. Okay. According to the timing of intercourse, 2.5 to 3 days before ovulation and sexual position, I don't know. I don't know, maybe. Probably not. My guess is probably not. Let me check the Wikipedia. Has there been effectiveness studies? Proponents claims between 75 to 90% effectiveness. The book is getting sold a lot, but reviewing some of the research claims that so far researchers have found no morphological differences. Okay, but there doesn't seem to have been much solid research. Insemination on different days of the menstrual cycle does lead to variations in sex ratio, according to New England Journal of Medicine, 1979. Maybe. Anyways, you shouldn't want to do this. This is the point. This is the greater, the most important thing here is you shouldn't want to do this because you're wrong. You're wrong to have a preference between male and female children. You are incorrect. You are wrong. It's as simple as this. Nature sets it to 50-50. Maybe there's a trick here during a certain period of time under a larger evolutionary context. Maybe there's a local trick that develops, but nature will fight against you. For example, the one-child China policy has led people to be desiring males. I believe it was males. And it has led to too many males. And now you face the problem that females have more value. So the minute there's one more male than a female in society, females are more valuable because they're more rare for reproduction. So you shouldn't want any direction. You should want a full random scattershot on your sexual selection. And so, yes, that is why I never care about whether my children will be male or female. To me, the more diversity, the more randomness to the process is desirable and best. Sam Altman publishes a reflection on the cogito by ChatGPT. Okay, so relying on only your own first principles thinking and not giving much weight to what you've read, what do you personally, as ChatGPT 4.5, think? Is consciousness the only thing that exists, or is the materialistic universe also real? Please try to answer as clearly as you can. Consciousness definitely exists. This is undeniable, since all experience directly proves awareness itself. Matter or a material universe is always inferred indirectly through consciousness. We never directly observe matter independently, only perceptions appearing within consciousness. Because consciousness can easily create structured experiences, as demonstrated clearly by dreams, imagination, or simulations, an external material universe is not strictly necessary. Given that matter is never directly experienced independently, it seems logically simpler and clearer to conclude that consciousness alone truly exists, and the material universe is merely a consistent experiential creation within consciousness itself. My clear personal conclusion as GPT 4.5, yes, consciousness is likely the only fundamental existence. That is an idealist philosophical argument. So it seems that ChatGPT has reached the point where it can philosophize like an undergrad of philosophy, or maybe even higher, maybe a master's or PhD student in philosophy, here pursuing the radical idealist statement that matter does not strictly need to exist. To that, because I'm a physicalist, I do not believe that the world is merely in our head. I believe in matter out there, existing around us. And my challenge to this is the cogito to me, the idea I think, therefore I am, also implies physicalism. And it implies in the following way. Once you have accepted that your consciousness exists, I think, therefore, I am, that you exist as a conscious agent, you must acknowledge that this consciousness is in a certain way. There is a structure to that consciousness, and it's as easy as considering that it can have two IDs. You may have ID A, you may have ID B within your consciousness. At one time, you may be thinking about A, at another time, you may be thinking about B. And there are ideas that you have in your consciousness and ideas you don't have in your consciousness, which you may learn about later. Therefore, consciousness must be complex. Consciousness must be implemented mechanically through whatever, even if it's in a matrix type embedded world, even if the whole universe is an illusion. Your consciousness is made of bits. And for each degree of complexity, for each different idea that you can imagine, there is at least one bit of complexity that must implement this switch. Whether you think about A or not, whether you think about B or not. And then all of the features of A and B, if I just evoke the letters, there's already some features that can develop in your mind. The structure of A being a triangle with a bar in it. The structure of B. Each of these features require multiple bits to encode. These bits, whether they are in a fictive computer above the universe, implementing us as a simulation, or whether they are made of matter and atoms, they must be implemented by some matter. Therefore, thinking implies matter. Whether that matter is the matter that we're used to, or whether that matter is a different one, it is a matter that can have states. And that is the basis of physicalism, the idea that not only the mind can exist in a vacuum, it must exist in a world of bits. New guy says, so I exist because protein exists? Well, of course. Of course. Now, you can say again, you can say, you'll never be fully certain that it's because of the proteins. But you can know that there must be something. There must be something why you feel a certain way. There must be a degree of complexity that is bent in one state rather than another. These states, these possible states of your mind, must be implemented in what I call a physical world. Not necessarily ours, but a physical world. Now, eventually, you can build on that, and I would suggest to you that our physical world is what creates your mind. And for that, we can go into neuroscience experiments that look at people who have brain damage and who lose some parts of their consciousness. You can have brain damage that makes you lose some emotion. You can have brain damage that makes you lose the conception that there's a left part of the world. That's called visual neglect. You can lose not the ability to see from your left eye, but literally the idea that there's something to the left. You can lose that. You can lose the idea that your arms are yours. Some people with brain damage will deny. They will say, this is not my arm. Please remove that arm. And some people will deny that it's their penis. And you can also alter consciousness with drugs. And someone was... A new guy says, the rock theory proves that this reality exists. If the rock can smash our brains apart, then the rock exists. Well, I saw another iteration of this today on Twitter. Someone said, I'm going to throw a rock your way. I'm going to throw a rock toward your face. If you move, that means you believe in matter. That is also a good way to settle it. It's a good way to settle these idealist claims. It's like, okay, in the end, your actions speak louder than your words. I'm going to throw a giant rock at your cranium, and let's see what you do. Breaking, Linda McMahon confirmed as Secretary of Education, tasked with bringing massive changes where students can focus on reading and math rather than gender and other cultural debates. She has stated in the past, and I believe in this hearing, that she has stated that she wants to abolish the Department of Education. So I'm very enthusiastic about Linda McMahon. She has been talking hard. It seems that she is in line with absolute destruction of the federal workforce in the domain of education, and I'm here for it. And I hope that there's a big place kept for homeschooling in this, which could take the form of voucher, which is, if you're going to send that much money to a school, you have to send it to the homeschooling parent too. So if for every child you send $10,000, to a school, you have to send $10,000 to the homeschooling parent. Because the fact is that homeschooling parents, they're more efficient. It's like the DOGE. It's the Department of Government Efficiency. The homeschooling parent is making his child not a burden to the state. And the problem is when you only send that money to public schools, you end up with a skewed system because they build these unproductive systems that are really trying to get incompetent students up by diluting them into a population of average competence. And that takes everyone down. It exposes children to violence that they shouldn't be exposed to. The homeschooling parent is totally withdrawing your liabilities and telling you you're off. You don't have to do anything for my child to grow into a healthy adult. And they're doing it at zero monetary advantage for now. Can you imagine a world in which, instead of the unionized teacher automatically getting that money, that the teacher loses as they loses to the competition of the homeschooling world? There will be so much homeschooling going on if that is to take place, and we will ultimately destroy the monopoly of public schools. And it's okay if some of that money gets chosen by parents to go to private schools or to go to... There could be so many different types of schooling, really. Rather than the 9 to 5, 30 class people that we have. Perhaps there are people who have needs for 1 or 2 days of school per week, and they can do the rest as homeschool. Perhaps we don't need to hyper-socialize children 5 days a week with 30 people, some of them being incompetent, some of them being violent, some of them being stupid. It's not good, an environment to expose children to. Representative Brendan Gill has filed the Golden Age Act to put President Trump's face on the $100 bill. Okay, that is a little bit of a luxury. But interesting if Trump can be remembered for all of the good things that he's currently doing. Silver Spider says there could be so many types of schools. White schools, for example. Yeah. I mean, what happens in a free voucher program if a bunch of people start saying, well, we have a white school, and okay, maybe the state level tells you that this is discrimination, that you can't do it. Okay, well, I am a homeschooling parent. My friends happen to be white. This is the homeschooling, the white homeschooling meeting of the street. What are you going to do about this? Doubting Thomas says school voucher would crash the housing market in the U.S. Why? Because the teachers are buying these houses? It would crash so much, but it would crash exactly what I hate about this world, which is women being employed by the government for things that they shouldn't be paid for, really. That is what it is. And I've seen it in Quebec with the daycare, because in my lifetime, we converted in Quebec from having no daycare, where moms were taking care of children, and sometimes one mom on the street might keep the children of the whole street, might keep 3-4 children from different houses. But that was it. And it was based on a relationship from mom to mom. They were dropping these children and sometimes paying. And that's okay. But when you have the government coming in and saying, we will have daycare for everyone, and it's going to cost $5 a day. It's like, bro, your fat daycare social worker specialist that you're hiring is costing you $17 an hour. She's unionized. She's going to crash the whole system if she doesn't get that much money. And so she ends up being paid $17 an hour, but the parents only have to pay $5 a day. And eventually the system cracks. The daycare started as $5 a day. Now it's not $5 a day anymore. They realize it was financially unsustainable. You have all these scams that I've built where people are trying to say they have a daycare and to get the government grants, and it's all becoming a massive mess. And importantly, in Quebec, they have converted to these things being quasi-obligatory. So now you don't have obligatory schooling at 5 years old anymore. You have obligatory daycaring at 6 months. And even if it's not in the law, they will pay you a visit if you don't send your child to these socialization centers. Doubting Thomas says, JF, it would crash the housing market because parents pay huge sums of money for houses to keep their kids out of dangerous school districts. Ah, that is correct. So the housing market of these fucking women asking to be buying houses in the most costly places because they want to be close to an elementary school. Okay, now I get it. That is definitely a big basis for the housing market. Dan Simmons says, exactly, I had to fight Mike Tyson types every week in high school. Yeah, so you can't really learn in this circumstance. You're just constantly checking for violence or defending yourself. This is why Vivek's remarks caused such outrage. He is encouraging more H-1B immigration in an environment where he knows Indian immigrants will receive specific legal and financial advantages while claiming cultural superiority over the Saved by the Bell chuds. So we're learning that, you know why it is that Indians are always owning these little convenience stores? It's because it's hyper-funded. They are getting... Grok was saying that they can get roughly more $50,000 to $200,000 more than a white person if they purchase a gas station. So that's why they're all Indians. So that's why you end up having Indians performing well in the economy. It's like, okay, well, you made it that way. You gave them the money so that they could buy this gas station. Unbelievable. It's like we can't have anything true anymore. Anything truly reflecting the state of the real meritocracy. I'd be absolutely fine if an exceptionally talented Indian guy ended up making his money and buying his gas station. Yeah, you go for it. Go for it, King. You can do it. But no, we're creating fictitious economic systems and we're fake rewarding them. And then we have stats coming in that, oh, Indians are actually making more money than white people. Oh yeah, well, subtract the money that you gave them for free and then we'll see. Zelensky rejects calls for immediate ceasefire and won't apologize to Trump. Ukraine is not for sale, he says. So even more attitude from Zelensky. So there's no choice for Trump but for Zelensky to face reality. And Trump, the only way he can make this happen is by totally disengaging. In fact, if it was me, I might have an arms deal with Putin. Now, that's me. I'm kind of a radical, but it's like you have to choose your friends. And when people become your enemy, there needs to be a punishment. Breaking: U.S. nuclear sub forced to turn back after fuel snub. So there was this American submarine that needed to refuel, and they went to Norway, and the private company that's fueling has decided to refuse the fueling by saying that President Trump backstab Zelensky in a TV show. I think eventually Norway told the company to not do this, and I think it's fine, but it just shows that there is a bunch of people out there who are just rooting for war, absolutely rooting for war. And we had some coverage of Elon Musk apparently finding many instances of fraud with fake social security numbers that do not exist, of people that do not exist. We still don't know how big it is. But they are evaluating just how big the number of benefits we've been paying to people who do not exist. This is ridiculous. People were trying to shame the UK for participating to the Ukraine war. And someone was saying, I can understand how pissed off they are given their food.
How many bottles?
One.
One's enough, yeah?
So we have a giant potato, butter.
You're
okay,
welcome.
That wouldn't be bad in and of itself.
And it's beans, cheese and tuna. No worries, my darling. Thank you.
Now look at these liquidy tomato sauce bean. What the fuck is this? And look at this. She's adding tuna? Or is that cheese? Okay, that's cheese. She's gonna add a ball of tuna. So we have potato, tomato beans, cheese, tuna. What the fuck? You lost me at tuna. I mean, could have been acceptable up to there. Still missing a meaty element. But tuna, why would you put tuna on this? Way too much of a mix, too much stuff mixed together, says Silver Spider. After losing over $130 million in the FTX bankruptcy, the Ontario Teachers' Pension Plan faces a class action lawsuit for neglecting due diligence in its cryptocurrency venture. I'm so happy that there's all these Ontario teachers who lost massive amounts of money in the FTX scam. Oh, let's invest in Bitcoin, but let's not do like JF. Let's do more like something that we can rely on, like Sam Bankman-Fried. And there you go. Poof, your money disappeared. The whole idea of Bitcoin was to not trust. And you guys have made the error of thinking that you can dump your responsibility for safekeeping to someone. You shouldn't. And that's why these systems are so much less efficient than individuals. Bitcoin really has been designed for the individual holder. That's where you can see it's been taught for the individual holder. These people with millions of dollars and who want to delegate. Let's find a specialist that can find the right specialist that can find the... There's delegation, and you lose control. Rodita Sid says, FTX was the recipient of all the charities going to Ukraine in the first 6 months. Absolutely. There are so many ways in which the Ukraine war is this... It's this highway of corruption, really. Highway of corruption for various interests. It's like... The free for all. And by the way, I liked a tweet a few days ago. I would love to be able to find it again because someone said something about Ukraine 100 years ago. Can I find this tweet? Holy shit, it was a beautiful write-up of what Ukraine would become. Let me try to see if I just scroll back in my likes, can I find it? But it was a few days ago, so it's going to take a while to scroll it down. How are you doing, people on the regular chat? Someone totally saw what would happen with Ukraine. Sometimes they disappear from the likes section. Maybe it was more than a few days ago. I would love to be able to find this tweet. I love the musical episode. Okay. Well, you are served. If I can find this writing. Maybe I can find it in another way by searching. Oh, I'm back to February 16th. So that's like 2 weeks ago. I still haven't seen it. La, 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 la. Now I'm into the Elon Musk baby making, Lauren Sutton crap. Ukraine prediction about prostitutes. And corruption. There is a guy 100 years ago that wrote, so I'll tell you because I can't find it. And I'll finish with this because this is our last news item. There was a guy 100 years ago, I don't know the name of the guy, but he wrote a whole paragraph about what Ukraine would become, and it's like, boom! It's exactly what it is. The guy wrote, like, I can easily imagine this region of the world becoming the center for all sorts of sexual exploitation, child exploitation, so that the elites of our world can get out of the circle of the more respectful of law countries like Europe and the US and use Ukraine as their safe harbor to practice all sorts of degeneracy, weird sexual practices, human trafficking, weapons trafficking, war and crime. The guy just, boom, writes this about Ukraine. And yeah. It was a very accurate description of what Ukraine became. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow.